वृंदावनीयां रसखेलिवर्धं कालेन लुप्तं निजशक्तिमुक्ता संचायरूपे व्यतनोत् पुनः सा प्रभुर्विधो प्राग् इव लोकसृष्टम्। Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. On the request of many of the devotees, we will continue today the most extraordinary narration of the pastimes and teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just had his most historical pilgrimage in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and after leaving, he transcendentally transformed the Pathan soldiers to become the Pathan Traveling Sankirtan Party. Wherever they went, they would induce everyone to chant the holy names of Krishna in ecstatic love. After performing this most wonderful miracle, Lord Chaitanya continued his travels and came to the holy place of Prayag. Lord Ramchandra, he went to Prayag. There on the banks he met with Bharadraj Muni and was given direction from him that he should go to Chitrakoot Mountain to perform his penance and tapasya. In fact, so many of the great avatars and acharyas worship that place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He is the essence of all incarnations. He is Purna Brahman. He is the fullest, richest of all incarnations because he is Krishna himself, who is endowed with all the six opulences in full. If you remember, we spoke about Rupa Sanatan Goswami meeting Lord Chaitanya in Ramakeli. They were the two highest ministers in the government of the king, the Nawab Husain Shah. And they approached Lord Chaitanya with great humility. Although they were factually the most learned scholars in practically the whole of the world, and they were so wealthy, and they had such power and influence, everything that people work so hard in this world to achieve, they had it all and more. And yet, on the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they decided to leave it all to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he took all of his wealth and he put it on boats and he left Ramakeli for his native place. And when he arrived in his native place, he divided all that wealth up in a way that is considered the most perfect example of how a grihastha should utilize his wealth. especially at the time of retirement. 50% of his vast treasury he gave to the Brahmins and the devotees to perform the greatest charity to society by spreading the glories of the Lord. 25% he gave for the maintenance of his family and relatives, and 25% he put in an account for emergency. Srila Prabhupada explains that this actually is the perfect example of how our hard-earned wealth should be divided. Krishna should be first. Compassion to other living beings should be the first consideration of our life, before our own selfish personal interests or even our own maintenance. Today it is just the opposite in most people's lives. After they make their income, they will take as much as they need, and after that, as much as they want, and after that, as much as they might want, and after that, as much as somebody else may want. And if there's somehow or other anything left over, then you give that to Krishna. Then you give that to the Brahmins to help them to do work for society, spiritual work. So Rupa Goswami showed by his example that the first consideration should be how to help humanity and how to serve God. And then everything else will naturally be taken care of. So this balance of spiritual life and material life must be seen in perspective. Because whatever we give priority to is what our consciousness will be influenced by. If we make our priority service to God, then God will give us priority to show us mercy. If we make other priorities above the goal of life, the purpose of life, and the duty of life, then that's what you'll get. You'll get some material benefits, which always culminate in material loss, success and failure and honor and dishonor and happiness and distress and victory and defeat and birth and death. This is material existence. We must do the best we have to do to perform our duties, but our priority should always be our spiritual life, our responsibility to God. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that when you water the root of a tree, automatically the entire tree is nourished. But if you go about watering each leaf and branch and twig and flower, but you neglect the root, then the whole tree will dry up and be diseased. In a similar way, Krishna is the root of all that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate. If he is satisfied, our life is perfect. So we must make an intelligent balance based on principles of truth. And this is what Rupa Goswami had done. At that time, Sanatan Goswami felt that it was very, very impossible for him to just leave his government services, because the Nawab Husain Shah was completely dependent on him to perform his duties in the government. But after some time, Sanatan Goswami decided that he had enough of working for materialistic people. Hare Krishna. So he sent a message to the king that he was in poor health and he had to stay home. Of course, he was not lying, because as a humble devotee, he was thinking that spiritually he was not very healthy, so he wanted to take the medicine of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he hired 20 to 30 Brahmins who were great devotees of the Lord, and throughout the entire day they were just reciting and discussing the wonderful glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence, the cream of all the Vedic scriptures. So the Naupusayan Shah sent his own royal physician to check on Sanatan Goswami. And he came and told Nawab that he's not sick, he's quite healthy. He's just hearing and chanting with Brahmins all day long, Hindu scriptures. So the Nawab Hussain Shah became very angry. And one day, by great surprise, without any warning, he appeared during the Bhagavad Katha. And all the Brahmins and Sanatan Goswami, with great respect, they raised and offered him their greetings. And he looked and he said, "What are you doing? You claim to be sick. The doctor says you're not sick. You do not look at all sick. You're here with all these Brahmins discussing Krishna. What is this? You get back to your service. I need you now." And Sanatan Goswami, he said, "I'm afraid to tell you that I will no longer be able to do my service. I resign." And the Nawab Hussain Shah became very angry. You see, Sanatan Goswami and Nawab Hussain Shah, they had such a close relationship in their service that the Nawab considered Sanatan his own younger brother, and he treated him like that. So talking about himself, he says, "Your older brother is very expert at conquering lands and causing pain and killing people. And now he wants to go out and conquer more lands and conquer more people. But you are abandoning him. I cannot tolerate this." So Sanatan Goswami replied that, "You are the king. You can punish me in any way you like." So the Nawab Hussain Shah left in great fury and ordered for Sanatan Goswami to be arrested. So Sanatan Goswami was put in prison. And a few days later, the Nawab Hussain Shah came to Sanatan Goswami and said, "I am just about to take my armies and conquer Orissa. I want you to help me." And Sanatan Goswami said, "I will not cause pain to other living beings, and I will not cause pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by any longer assisting you." Well, he was put back into the prison. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami and his brother, younger brother, whose name was Sri Ballabha, who was later given the name Anupam Malik by the government, they sent some messengers to Jagannath Puri to find out where Lord Chaitanya was. And the messengers came back and said that Lord Chaitanya has gone to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballabha decided to immediately go to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami sent a letter to Sanatan Goswami explaining that, "I am going to Vrindavan with our brother because Lord Chaitanya is there. And I have left 10,000 gold coins with a Bengali grocer to help you to make bribes to get out of jail." This system of bribing is not something new. So, then Rupa Goswami began his travels. And he came to Prayag. And at Prayag, he heard tumultuous sounds of the chanting of the holy names. And he went to the very, very famous temple of Bindu Madhava. And there he found the most beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing in transcendental ecstasy before the deity of Bindu Madhava. He had a beautiful, beautiful complexion like molten gold. His arms, which extended below the knees, were raised high into the sky. His beautiful lotus eyes, which stretched practically to his ears, were incessantly weeping. Beautiful tears, which appeared like the Ganges and the Jamuna, flowing in streams of nectar. His nose is explained to be beautiful like sesame flour. And his beautiful teeth were like rows of precious pearls. And his chest was broad, and his waist was thin, and his wonderful robes as a sannyasi decorated this charming form. And as he danced, his hairs were standing on end, and his limbs were trembling in the divine ecstasies of pure devotion. And as he was dancing and singing, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names. And there were hundreds and thousands of people gathered around him, watching his beautiful dance. And everyone was chanting the holy names, and everyone became mad singing the kirtan of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is said that although since time immemorial the Jamuna and the Ganges both merged together at Prayag, they never flooded the city. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and induced everyone in Prayag to perform kirtan, the entire city was flooded with the current of Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballava, from a distant place, put clumps of grass within their teeth as a sign of humility and were offering obeisances to the Lord again and again and again. So blissful to see the Lord's tremendous influence on the lives of all these conditioned souls. A Brahmin from Decca, this area, was living in Prayag, and he invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his home to stay and take. Actually, he invited him for prasad. So Lord Chaitanya went there after his wonderful kirtan, and he was sitting in a solitary place. At that time, Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballava offered their obeisances from a distant place again. And Lord Chaitanya saw them, and he said, "Get up, Rupa Goswami, get up, come here." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted up Rupa Goswami and embraced him. And then he placed his lotus feet on Sri Rupa Goswami's head. And Lord Chaitanya said, "It is because you have received the supreme mercy of Lord Krishna that you have been delivered from the well of materialistic life. And you have come here to take complete shelter of the Lord." And then Rupa Goswami began to chant beautiful Sanskrit verses in praise of Lord Chaitanya. And one of them is a very famous verse that devotees sing practically every day. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Premit Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Teshenamaha. This illustrious sloka was composed by Rupa Goswami upon his meeting of Lord Chaitanya at the holy place of Prayag. And the meaning of this verse is that the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the absolute truth and the ultimate goal of life, has descended in this age of Kali Yuga in a beautiful golden complexion, the very complexion of Srimati Radharani. And there is no incarnation so great as this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is doing what no other incarnation has ever done. He is giving the highest ecstasies of the pure love of Vrindavan indiscriminately to everyone and anyone who simply accepts the divine process of the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Lord Chaitanya asks Rupa Goswami, where is Sanatan? And he said that Sanatan is in prison. Lord Chaitanya said he has already been released from prison and he will soon be meeting you in Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya returned to his residence. He was given a residence right at the confluence of the Ganges and the Jamuna. And Sri Vallabha also took residence just beside Lord Chaitanya's. One day, a very, very great Vaishnav, who was one of the most famous acharyas in the Vaishnav lines, his name was Vallabha Bhattacharya. He came to meet Lord Chaitanya at Triveni. And when he saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, and he saw the manifestations of the love of God that decorated the form and the heart of Lord Chaitanya, Vallabha Bhatta offered his prostrated obeisances. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him up and embraced him. And then these two great souls began to discuss the pastimes and the teachings of Lord Krishna. And as they were speaking about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was trying to somehow or other restrain the emotions of the ecstasies that were awakening within him. And Sri Vallabha could see this, Vallabhacharya. And he asked Lord Chaitanya to come to his home. He lived in a village across the river called Adaila Gram. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his invitation. At that time, Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha began to offer their obeisances to Sri Vallabha Bhattacharya. And Lord Chaitanya introduced them. He said, this is Rupa, and this is Sri Vallabha. And Vallabha Bhattacharya, in his natural Vaishnav humility and devotion, wanted to greet them and embrace them. But as he came toward them, Rupa Goswami and his brother ran away. And they started calling that, we are the most sinful. We are untouchable. Do not contaminate yourself by touching us. You are a great soul. And Lord Chaitanya said to Vallabha Bhattacharya, he said, what they are saying is true. They have served lowly persons. Therefore, they are not of a high caste, and you are a very, very learned Brahmin of the highest caste. You should not touch them. But Sri Vallabha Bhattacharya saw that the whole while Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha were chanting the holy names of Krishna. Bhattacharya said, they are always chanting Krishna's name. Therefore, I can understand they are on the highest order of transcendental consciousness. And then he began to quote beautiful verses where he explained how Aho Bhattaswapa Chotogari Yam Yaj Jivagri Vartate Namatubyam, that one who chants the holy names of the Lord is to be considered one who has already performed all sacrifices, who has already gone to bathe in all holy rivers, who has taken the dust of all holy places, who have performed all the rules and regulations of all the scriptures. One who is
sincerely chanting the holy name is qualified to perform all the rites and rituals of the Brahmins. In fact, they are fit to deliver the whole world. But even if one is a Brahmin endowed with all the 25 or 16 qualities of a Brahmin, if he is not a sincere devotee of the Lord chanting of the holy name, he cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of others. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very pleased to hear Ballabha Bhattacharya's realization based on scripture of the glories of anyone who has sincerely taken Krishna's name and how they are worshipable. And Lord Chaitanya quoted a verse that even if a person is born in the highest family of caste and aristocracy, and even if that person is thoroughly learned in all the scriptures, and even if that person can perform tremendous austerities and tapasya and restrain his senses like a great yogi, and even if that person is a great, great teacher to others, if he is not a devotee of the Lord, if he is not a surrendered to the Lord, then all of these qualities are like decorations on a dead corpse. And only a foolish person in the ignorant public will respect such a person and honor him. Because the essence and purpose of all spiritual activities is to awaken devotion to God. Shama eva hi kevalam. And whatever we do in our religious life, it does not awaken a desire, a thirst to hear and chant about Krishna, then it is all a waste of time. So in this way, Sri Ballabha Bhattacharya very lovingly embraced Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballabha. And then Sri Ballabha Bhatt invited Lord Chaitanya to come to Adayilagram for prasad, which was his home. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. So Ballabha Bhatt arranged a boat, and they got on the boat. And Rupa Goswami was there, and his brother Anupam was there, and Lord Chaitanya, and Sri Ballabha Bhatt, and the boatman. And as they started sailing across the Jamuna, Lord Chaitanya, in his mood of the ecstasy of the love of a devotee, he saw the beautiful, shining, blackish waters of Jamuna, and he jumped in. And he lost consciousness when he jumped in. Somehow or other, Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballabha and Ballabha Bhatt, they went in the water and pulled Lord Chaitanya out and brought him back onto the boat. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began chanting very loudly the holy names and dancing with his arms raised in the boat. And he was dancing and dancing, and it was just a small little boat. And when his feet were coming down as he was jumping, the whole boat was moving from one side to another side to another side, and more water was entering into the boat, and he kept dancing. And the devotees were trying to stop his dancing. And he kept dancing, and the boat was rocking back and forth, and it was practically completely filled with water. It was just on the verge of sinking. And somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya saw what distress he was putting everyone in, so he stopped his transcendental dance. And then they came to the bank, other bank of Jamuna, and he was brought to the home of Ballabha Bhattacharya, and there a nice bath was arranged for him. And then Ballabha Bhatta gave Lord Chaitanya a nice seating place, and kind and sweet words of welcome. And then he washed the Lord's feet, and then he offered him puja with scents and flowers and incense and the ghee lamp and the jamara. And after this, he gave him nice garlands and gifts of new cloth. This is the way in Vedic culture people greet respectable guests. And then he offered nice prasad. And Lord Chaitanya took Ballabha Bhattacharya's prasad. And after taking, Ballabha Bhatta gave him nice refreshing spices to cleanse his mouth. And then Ballabha Bhatta gave him a nice place to rest. And he began to massage his lotus feet and his legs. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ballabha Bhatta, "Please, now you take prasad." So Ballabha Bhatta went and took Lord Chaitanya's remnants. And then he came back to massage the Lord's lotus feet. And while he was engaged in this most precious and intimate service to the Lord, a very, very respectable and learned gentleman from the area of Tirohita arrived. Tirohita is in Bihar. And this man's name was Raghupati Upadhyaya. He was a most pious man and a very, very great devotee of the Lord. So he offered his obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya greeted him with the words, "Krishne Mati Rahu." Krishne Mati Rahu means, may you always be in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes to new people like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, before he became a devotee, Lord Chaitanya gave him the blessing, "Krishne Matir Astu," which means, may you be Krishna conscious. But to those great devotees he gave the blessings, "Krishne Mati Rahu," which means always remain in Krishna consciousness. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to hear about Krishna from Raghupati Upadhyaya. So he said, "Please tell me, describe to me something about Krishna." And the following verses that Raghupati Upadhyaya recited are very, very dear to the hearts of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He said, "Those who are afraid of suffering the miseries of material existence, some of them worship the Vedas, some of them worship the supplementary of the Vedas, the Puranas, some worship the Mahabharata, but as for me, I worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is playing like a child." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Please speak something more about Krishna." And he repeated that, "Who will believe me? To who will I speak? That the absolute truth, the supreme Brahman, is hunting for the gopis in the bushes of Vrindavan." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy to hear his wonderful devotion to Lord Krishna. And he asked him, "Of all forms of the Lord, which form is supreme?" And he said, "The supreme form of the absolute truth is Shyam Sundar, Krishna who appears in his beautiful form, blackish like a rain cloud." And then Lord Chaitanya asked, "Of all the abodes of the Lord, which is the highest abode?" And Raghupati Upadhyaya responded that the highest abode is Madhupuri, Vrindavan, Mathura. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, "Of all ages of the Lord, his Bal Leela, his Poganda Leela, his Kishore Leela, his Yovana Leela, which is the supreme of all ages of the Lord?" And he said, "When the Lord is a fresh youth, Kishore, that is the best age." And Lord Chaitanya asked the fourth question, what is the supreme of all mellows or rasas? And Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, Adiras or Madhuryaras, the love of the gopis and conjugal love is the highest expression of Krishna Prema. And Lord Chaitanya, upon hearing this, personally composed a verse that Shyam Sundar is the supreme form, Mathura Vrindavan is the supreme abode, Kishore is the best age, and Adiras is the best of all loving mellows toward the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Raghupati Upadhyaya's simple and natural devotion that he embraced him. And when he embraced Raghupati Upadhyaya, Raghupati's heart just filled with so much love, he started dancing and dancing and dancing. And seeing Raghupati, Lord Chaitanya began to dance and dance, and seeing the two of them dancing together, Vallabha Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. He had never seen such intimacy of ecstatic love between two people. And then Vallabha Bhattacharya brought his two sons before Lord Chaitanya, whose names were Gopinath and Vitaleshwar. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed these small children with his causeless mercy. And soon all the villagers of Athaila Gram heard that the Supreme Lord had appeared. And they all came to see his beauty. And Lord Chaitanya was inducing all of them to chant the holy names. This was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simple message. Always remember Krishna. Krishna is the supreme purifier. In whoever's heart Krishna resides, through remembrance, that heart will become pure and love of God will naturally awaken in due course of time. So without consideration of whether one was a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi, with no consideration whether one was educated or uneducated, rich or poor, he induced everyone to join together as a one harmonious society of Vaishnavas to raise their arms and loudly chant the holy name. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Soon hundreds and hundreds of people were inviting Lord Chaitanya to their homes for prasad. And Vallabha Bhattacharya was having a very difficult time controlling the crowds at his house. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So he explained to Lord Chaitanya that he should go back to Tridaini. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. But Vallabha Bhattacharya was very, very afraid to take him across the Jamuna again. So he took another route, crossing over the river Ganga by boat. And when they reached the other side, Lord Chaitanya returned to his residence. And soon large, large crowds of people were always trying to have the darshan of the Lord and receive his mercy through his instructions. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to instruct Srila Rupa Goswami. So they went to a very secluded and lonely place called the Dashashwamedha Ghat on the bank of a holy river. And at that bank, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak to Rupa Goswami. But before he spoke to him, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, first Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered into the heart of Rupa Goswami to give him the power to understand and realize everything he was about to say. This is a very important principle. It is only by the mercy of the Lord that we can hear transcendental knowledge, and it is only by the mercy of the Lord that we can understand a word of it. I remember here in Bombay at Cross Maidan, our Guru Maharaj was speaking, and there was over 20,000 people sitting there listening to his talk. And how many heard him? How many actually understood what he said, his message? It is very rare. It is only by the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna's mercy comes upon us according to the quality of our desire. So we should know with great humility that to hear the truth is not our qualification. The truth is coming from Krishna through parampara. And to understand that truth and to have realization of that truth can only take place by Krishna's mercy. And therefore, a devotee is always praying for Krishna's mercy, always living in such a humble way to attract Krishna's mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his explanation to Rupa Goswami. He said, "I am about to explain to you vast, vast, unlimited ocean of knowledge of Krishna. This ocean has no limits, either wide or long or deep. It is unlimited, it is infinite. But I am going to explain to you one tiny part of one drop from that ocean. That is all that anyone has the capacity to describe." I am about to explain to you three subject matters: Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, and Rasa Tattva, which in other words is Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means to understand Krishna Tattva. Who is Krishna? What is the relationship between the eternal soul and Krishna? What is the nature, what is the relationship between the material energy and Krishna? What is the relationship between different jivatmas and each other? What is the relationship between the jivatma and material nature? What are the various manifestations of God? It is explained, Vedanti tat tat padidas, Brahmaiti bharamatmiti bhagavaniti sabhiti, that the Lord has three essential manifestations: Bhagwan, His Supreme Personality and Form; Paramatma, the localized feature of the Lord within everyone's heart; and Brahman, the impersonal, unmanifested energy of the Lord, which is expanding everywhere. And to understand how Krishna is the source of all energies, Rashya Shaktir Vibhadaiva Shumyate, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. This is called Krishna Tattva. And Abhideya or Bhakti Tattva means the means by which we can purify our heart and realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. And Prayojana Jnan or Rasa Tattva means to understand the intimacies of ecstatic love in that completely purified state of consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya began by explaining that, actually before he explains, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the glories of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He said that Rupa and Sanatana were the object of love of all the devotees. And later on, they were both living in Vrindavan. And sometimes devotees would come from Jagannath Puri or Bengal and visit Vrindavan, and then when they would return, the first question everyone asked is, how is Rupa and Sanatana? What are they doing? What is the nature of their devotion? Where do they eat? Where do they live? And the people would respond, that there is no quality of bhakti that could compare to that of Rupa and Sanatana. Their lives are extraordinary examples of devotion. They were big, big, great, great politicians. They had homes that were like Indra's. They had estates and property and thousands of servants and billions and billions and billions of rupees and tons of gold. But they have given it up. And how are they living? They have no fixed residence. They sleep under the trees on the hard ground. In the winter, in the summer, in the rainy season. They sleep under a different tree every night, so that they will not even become attached to a tree. And what do they eat? They've given up all the luxurious fine foods, and they go begging to the house of Brahmins, and they get some dry roti, or they get some old fried chickpeas, and this way they eat what the simplest beggars will eat. And the only possession they have is one little water pot that they carry. And they gave up all their beautiful, beautiful royal garments of silk and jewels. And they only wear discarded, torn quilts as their only clothes. And they're always chanting the holy names of Krishna. They are constantly chanting the Lord's names, and together they are continuously discussing the glories of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's teachings. And in great jubilation, they dance together in the kirtan of the holy name. They engage in devotional service practically 24 hours a day. In fact, the most they sleep is 1.5 hours in an entire day. And sometimes they are so engrossed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord that they simply forget to even take their 1.5 hours of rest. And with great efforts and devotion to the Lord, they are writing so many volumes and volumes and volumes of transcendental literatures on palm leaves. And these literatures are meant for the upliftment of all living beings. They contain the highest, most intimate, conclusive truths of Krishna. And they are continuously chanting, dancing, and singing the glories of the Lord. And in this way, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami perform their devotional service in Vrindavan. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada sometimes explains that some people go to Vrindavan to become babajis. And they smoke bidis, and they have nice house, and some of them do other things also. The Prabhupada said, if you want to be Babaji in Vrindavan, you should live like Rupa Sanatana Goswami. They are actual Paramahamsas. This is actually the standard of life. If you are not on that platform, then you should work very hard, chant at least 16 rounds, and preach the message of the Lord, and serve Guru's instructions, and worship Radha Gopinath, and chant the holy name. When the people would hear of the glories of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were struck with wonder. Just hearing the qualities of these great souls awakens love of God within our hearts. For 10 days, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami. He began by explaining how within this material existence, there are unlimited living entities, unlimited jivatmas who are all part and parcel of the Supreme Paramatma Krishna. And of the countless living entities within this universe, they are divided within 8,400,000 species of life. And there are two categories of the 8,400,000 species of life. Some living entities are in bodies that are moving, and some are non-moving. Some are plants and trees and vegetation, sometimes rocks. And the others are in the moving living entities are birds and aquatics and animals. And of all these species of life, it is very, very great fortune to somehow get entrance into the human existence. Because only the human being can question his nature and solve the real problems of birth and death. And human life is meant exclusively for that purpose. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, out of the many, many human beings, a large portion are uncivilized. And what is the definition of civilized and uncivilized? One who follows the teachings of scriptures is called civilized. And one who does not follow any of the guidelines of the holy scriptures revealed by the Lord are called uncivilized. In the Western world, how many people pay attention to their scriptures? They are very, very expert at making all sorts of scientific discoveries to increase the quality of their material sense gratification. At least temporarily it may appear that way. But because they are not following the Vedic literatures or the supplementary versions of the Vedic literatures, they are considered to be uncivilized. And here in this great land of Bharatvarsha or India, we are very, very much becoming enthusiastic and proud to be importing so many uncivilized methods of life. Bharatvarsha ki jai. And of those who are civilized and follow the Vedic scriptures, a large portion of those people do it only lip service. Lord Chaitanya explains lip service means they read the Vedas and they talk about the Vedas, but they do not follow the Vedas. They still engage in so many sinful activities. We have seen people, they perform their pujas, they do the Bhagavat Saptaha, Ramayan Katha, and then they smoke their bidis and drink. If they're rich, they smoke cigarettes. And they... that's, from a Westerner's point of view, this is India's condition. Uncivilized means you smoke bidis, and civilized means you smoke cigarettes. But actually, it's all unfortunate. So only a small portion of those who actually follow the Vedic, actually follow Vedic teachings. And of those who follow Vedic teachings, the vast majority, they do it simply to increase and improve their material life of sense gratification. They follow the path of karma kanda. They worship various devatas or demigods with the idea that if I do this puja, I will get more money. I will get a nice looking wife, or a handsome, strong, rich husband. Or perhaps I will get very good raise in my job and get more and more profits and more distinction and better grades in my exams and all sorts of countless desires. This is called karma kanda. And some people are frustrated with this world altogether. And they decide, I want to go to the heavenly planet. Because there the enjoyment is much better. Instead of this life of 70, 80 years, I could live millions of years and enjoy
Not a wife that looks nice for a couple of years and then gets old and wrinkled after a few years. But I can have a wife that for millions of years is fresh and young and smiling and dancing. This is the heavenly planet. But it's not one-sided. Women also want husbands like that too.
Lord Chaitanya explained that out of those who actually follow the Vedas, it's very, very rare to find one who is wise, who is a jnani, who actually wants to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death, from one who actually wants to give up the cycle of material enjoyment and understand what is beyond. And out of those rare few souls who achieve mukti, it is very, very rare to find one person who has actually developed pure devotion to God or bhakti. Why? Muktanam anti siddhanam narayana parayana. The Bhagavad explains, out of so many people who have achieved very high statuses of mysticism and even liberation, it's very rare to find a devotee of Narayana. And that devotee is the only person who is actually peaceful. He is the only person without selfish desires. He is the only person who is in his natural, original spiritual condition as the eternal servant of the Lord. And such a devotee, Narayana Parasarade Nakutashtana Vidyate Svaraka Pabarga Narakesu Apitulyata Darshana. Such a devotee doesn't care whether he's in heaven or hell. He's only concerned that he's pleasing Krishna by service. That is the real ecstasy of the soul. So such a pure devotee is very, very rare. And the spirit soul is wandering through this universe through countless births. Brahmandi bhamite kona bhagyavan jiva guru krishna prasari vai bhakti latati. Sometimes he is going to the upper heavenly planets. Sometimes due to his karma he's going to the lower hellish planets. Sometimes he's in a rich family. Sometimes in a poor family. Sometimes in a life of birds or beasts or fish or plants. Sometimes he's in the body of various forms of human beings. But after wandering endlessly and aimlessly for millions and millions and millions and millions of lifetimes, when one comes to the platform of the ultimate fortune in life, he comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. And in that contact, the pure devotee plants the seed of bhakti within the heart. And it is that seed that is the most precious thing you can achieve in all of creation. And then Lord Chaitanya explains that one must become like a gardener to take care of that seed. One should water the seed through the process of hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Through this process of watering, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, preaching these teachings, speaking them to others, and chanting Harinam, gradually this seed begins to grow. And as it grows, it penetrates all the coverings and walls of material existence. It goes beyond this earth planet. It goes beyond Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, up to Brahmaloka and beyond.
And then it actually pierces through the covering of material existence and enters into the Viraja. The Viraja is the causal ocean. It is a river composed of the perspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the border between material existence and spiritual existence. Crossing over the Viraja River, that devotional creeper enters into the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky, the self-illuminous energy which creates beautiful light everywhere. And in that spiritual sky, through the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the devotional creeper grows and grows up to the Vaikuntha planets. And beyond the Vaikuntha planets, it enters into the supreme, topmost of all spiritual abodes of Goloka Vrindavan. And as the devotional creeper develops, it comes and takes shelter of the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us that as we are watering this devotional creeper, we must be very, very careful of the mad elephant offense, which is Vaishnav Aparad. Because the Lord's devotees are more dear to him than his own self. Time and again the scriptures declare that if you offend Krishna, if you just bow down and beg forgiveness, he will forgive you. But if you offend his devotees, he will be very, very disturbed. And this is natural. Even in this world, if we cause harm to someone we love, that is a greater offense than causing harm to the person himself. If I say something bad to a father, he may be insulted. But if I say something bad to his son and make him cry, the father will be much more angry with me. Would you agree? So similarly, Madhbhakta Puja Birika, serving a devotee is more dear to the Lord than serving the Lord. And offending a devotee is more displeasing to the Lord than offending him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, what does Vaishnav Aparad do to your spiritual life? You have this garden where you are growing your little seed of devotion. If you let an elephant into the garden, the elephant will just uproot everything that is there. All the plants that are there are uprooted, and once they lose their roots, they just dry up. Hasti aparad. Offending Vaishnavas is like allowing a mad elephant into our heart. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, not only Vaishnava aparad, but there are so many unwanted creepers that are growing along with the devotional creeper. And if we are not very careful, when we water, we actually could be watering the wrong creeper. And those creepers, when they start to grow, they will curtail and choke the devotional creeper. Therefore, we must be very intelligent to discriminate what is bhakti and what are all these other appearance plants within our heart that look like bhakti. And he explains what some of them are. One unwanted creeper is the desire for bhakti, for material enjoyment, or mukti, desire for liberation. Because factually, as you start making spiritual advancement and you start developing good qualities, and you start becoming very pure in your intelligence. Oftentimes you think, now I can enjoy better than I did before I was a devotee. Sometimes the Lord provides so many facilities to help you in your service. But then you think, this is mine. Let me enjoy. This is an unwanted creeper growing. And sometimes as we make spiritual advancement by hearing or chanting, we start becoming very, very self-controlled, very equipoised, and then we want to be God. We want mukti or liberation. So we must, Lord Chaitanya said, whenever these creepers of bhakti and mukti, when we see them growing in our heart, we must immediately cut them down with the sword of discrimination. And there are a large variety of other unwanted creepers that grow simultaneously. One is the creeper of unacceptable behavior, duplicity, killing of animals, cruelty to others, mundane profiteering, the desires for mundane profit through our actions, the desires for mundane adoration through our actions, even through our service. Sometimes when we perform devotional activities and we're hearing and chanting, our desire is not to please Krishna. Our desire is to make profit, or to become famous, or to be seen as somebody who is very important. We must distinguish. We must understand the real creeper of devotion is that which is the desire simply to please Krishna, simply to satisfy Krishna. No desire for bhakti, mukti, no desire for karma kanda, jnana kanda, no desire for any prestige or any wealth for ourselves. It should be done for the pleasure of the Lord. And one who has this single-pointed goal and desire in life and nourishes that goal and keeps cutting down all these other desires as they come up, and they will continue to come up until our devotional kripa becomes very, very strong and very mature. It is no surprise. But if we follow this principle, and how to follow this principle? In order to do so, it is mandatory that we must have the association of devotees who are continuously to remind us. Because without the association of sincere devotees, we lose our discrimination. And Maya tricks us and convinces us to put the water on the wrong creeper. And we cannot distinguish. But if we're constantly reading Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing these topics amongst devotees and coming to the pravachan, the katha of those who are actually presenting real parampara of truth, and in that association, we learn how to please Krishna. We learn how to worship the deity in a mood of devotion. We learn how to do seva. We learn how to chant the holy names in kirtan and japa. Then gradually, our attachment for Krishna becomes more and more and more. And this attachment to Krishna actually, as it gradually grows, all of the pleasures of this world become insignificant. Artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. Desire for economic development, religiosity, sense gratification, and liberation, insignificant. Even the four kinds of liberation, Salokya, Sarasthi, Samitya, they become insignificant. A devotee prefers simply to engage in the service of the Lord.
gradually, as this devotional service enters into the realm of real love for Krishna, two side effects take place, Lord Chaitanya explains to Rupa Goswami. One is that one becomes detached from material sense enjoyment, and the second is that one's senses become completely purified, and one doesn't take pleasure in anything but pleasing Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. One no longer identifies or considers seriously any material designations. And as this devotional creeper becomes more and more transcendentally mature, it bears fruit. And that fruit is the fruit of love of God. And that fruit falls at the lotus feet of Krishna. And to drink the nectar of that fruit is the ultimate ecstasy that the soul is always longing for. This is called Krishna Prema. Lord Chaitanya explains the different degrees in which this Krishna Prema intensifies is like the different types of degrees of the processing of sugarcane. First there is the seed, then that grows into sugarcane, then that is crushed into sugarcane juice, and then when that sugarcane juice is boiled, it becomes molasses, and then it becomes sugar, and then Prabhupada says it becomes rock candy, and ultimately it becomes lozenges. This is the most intensified form. So similarly, Krishna Prema, through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, following the four regulative principles in the association of devotees, our love becomes more and more and more intensified. And in that pure state of love of God, Lord Chaitanya explains to Rupa Goswami, there are five primary rasas and seven secondary rasas. The five primary rasas are santaras, or loving service to the Lord in a mood of neutrality. The second is dasyaras, loving service to the Lord in a mood of servitude. Sakyaras, in a fraternal or friendly relationship. Vatsalyaras, the love that a parent has for a child. In that way we could love Krishna. And Madhurya Ras, the love of a lover for the beloved. And there are seven indirect rasas: laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. These are explained in great, great detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translated as Nectar of Devotion. And Lord Chaitanya explains that these five rasas are permanent. The secondary indirect rasas, they appear only to embellish and enhance the ecstasies of our devotion to Krishna. And he explains that santaras, the qualities of santaras is that one has complete detachment from material existence and complete attachment to Krishna. And examples of that are the nine yogendras, or the four kumaras. When you add to that santaras a deeper understanding of the opulences of the Lord, and a deeper appreciation, and a great and deep longing to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, and that is called dasyaras. And examples of dasyaras
in Vrindavan, Raktak, and Patrak, different servants of the Lord. In Dwarka, one of the servants is Daruka. And in Ram Lila, such a servant is the great and famous Hanumanji. Dasya Ras and Santa Ras is generally in a conception of awe and reverence. Lord Chaitanya makes two divisions. There is love of God in awe and reverence, and there is love of God in pure attachment. Awe and reverence is what is followed in Mathura, Dwarka, and Vaikuntha, where everyone considers themselves to be the eternal servant and God is great. But pure attachment is only followed in Vrindavan, where the love becomes so deep and so pure and so rich and so intimate that we do not even consider the opulences or the greatness of God. We simply love Him because of His sweetness and His beauty and His natural personality, His supreme personality. We love Him because He's Krishna, not because He's God. In the mood of Sakya Ras, sometimes the Lord is loved by devotees in a mellow of friendship, where they think themselves equal to Krishna, and they play with Krishna, and they wrestle with Krishna. And sometimes Krishna wins, and they carry Krishna on shoulders, and sometimes they win, and Krishna carries them on shoulders. Prabhupada says this is the wager that they make before the game, that whoever loses must carry the winner on shoulders. In this way, the friends of Krishna have such intimate, loving relationship. And Vatsalya Ras, parental affection, where we actually feel that God is depending on us. Vatsalya Ras in Vrindavan is Nanda and Yashoda. In Dwarka is Vasudeva and Devaki. Where Mother Yashoda, she looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the whole universe. But then at the next moment, she forgot all the greatness and opulence of Krishna and was thinking that He is my child. If I do not give Him my milk, He will be hungry. He may even die. Mother Yashoda was always protecting Krishna from monkeys and always trying to help him to grow up to be a respectable cowherd boy. Therefore, when he would do mischief, she would chastise him. Sometimes with sticks, she would threaten him. Sometimes she would bind him with ropes to grinding mortar. Damodar Lila. This is the sweetness of the love of parental affection. And the highest, the fullest, the most complete of all mellows of love is Madhurya Ras. The love between the gopis in Krishna in Vrindavan and the queens of Krishna in Dwarka. And in this love we find the absolute sacrifice and surrender in the highest and purest form, in the sense that it is all-inclusive. The gopis of Vrindavan, they are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity just to cure Krishna from his headache for one moment. That is the sacrifice of their love. The Madhurya Ras of the spiritual world has nothing to do with the love of this world. The love of this world is based on personal enjoyment, sense gratification, physical desires, and utter ego and selfishness. But the gopis' love for Krishna is completely pure and spiritual, with only one desire and one aim, and that is Krishna's satisfaction. And it is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami that of these rasas, each one successively includes all the previous qualities.
And he gives the comparison of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Ether is the subtlest of elements. And next is air. But ether is included in air. And ether and air are included in fire. And ether, air, and fire are all included in water. And ether, air, fire, and water are all included in earth. Earth is the complete element containing all other elements. So similarly, in Dasyaras is included Santaras. In Sakyaras is included Dasyaras and Santaras. In Vatsalyaras are all the qualities of the loving emotions of Sakyaras, Dasyaras, and Santaras. And in Madhurya Lila, full, most enriched and inclusive realization, including all the love and realizations of parental affection, friendly affection, servitude affection, and neutrality affection, are all included. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in this way. So we should not take these things cheaply. We should understand what is the gravity and the greatness and what is the exalted position of these devotees we read about in Srimad Bhagavatam, and how we can also achieve that position through very honestly and sincerely watering this devotional treeper and serving the Vaishnavas. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how all of this wonderful explanation of the different stages of Krishna consciousness are just a very general survey. And he told Rupa Goswami that he should consider these things, and because he had empowered him with his causeless mercy, Rupa Goswami would have the intellect and the capacity to expand and write various great voluminous literatures describing the science of Krishna consciousness. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded his teachings to Rupa Goswami by explaining, when one thinks of Krishna constantly, love of Krishna manifests within the heart. And even if one is completely ignorant, he can cross to the ocean of transcendental love of God by the mercy of Krishna. This is the glory of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Even if we are ignorant, by just constantly remembering Krishna, we achieve Krishna's mercy, and all these realizations become manifest to us gradually by His grace. So Srila Prabhupada's simple teaching, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, includes all of these most profound truths. So let us always remember Krishna and be happy. At the Dashashvamedha Ghat at Prayag, Lord Chaitanya offered these beautiful teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami and empowered him to spread these teachings in most wonderful way throughout the world. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master, explained that in our sampradaya we are all called Rupanugas. That means we are all following the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he gave so many wonderful, wonderful narrations of the Absolute Truth, he only wrote with his own hand 8 verses called Shikshastakam. And he empowered and entrusted the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan and their followers
to document these truths, to extract from the scriptures the essence of pure devotion, and to present Krishna consciousness in the most relishable and scientific manner. And therefore we are all followers of Srila Rupa Goswami's teaching. And the seed of those teachings was planted by Rupa Goswami in this wonderful narration that took place at Prayag. And Srila Prabhupada, a true and devoted follower of Rupa Goswami, has taken the same teachings in their most unadulterated form, like a transcendental gardener. He took the fruits of Rupa Goswami's deepest realizations and distributed them throughout the entire world. And it is to his lotus feet that we place our heads and offer our lives in humble obeisance. Srila Prabhupada ki. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya decided to travel the next morning to Varanasi. And in the morning, Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, they said to Lord Chaitanya that we do not want to leave your association. We will go with you to Varanasi and back to Jagannath Puri. We cannot tolerate the thought of separation from you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that you should become attached to serving my instruction, not to physically being with me, by serving my instruction. And my instruction to you is to go to Vrindavan and write these wonderful books and show by your example the model of how devotees should aspire to live. And later on, you can come to Jagannath Puri and visit with me. And Lord Chaitanya got on a boat and began to cross the river Ganga. And Rupa Goswami fell to the ground unconscious in separation. And the Dakin Brahmin picked him up and brought him home. And then Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, they went on their great journey to Sri Vrindavan Dham to execute the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, anyone who hears this narration of Lord Chaitanya meeting and instructing Rupa Goswami with faith will attain love of God in the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Prabhupada ki. Sri Thayvam Pema.